It's time for our technology segment on Radio Australia with Morris Misalowski, who is a business futurist. Hello, Morris. And Adelaine also joins us in this segment.
G'day.
G'day.
It's lovely. Well, of course, Adelaine, it's lovely to see you from that side of the desk to here.
That's right. I thought I'd come around and make myself real. Is this augmented reality? I'm not sure.
I don't know, but the 13 big technology trends to look out before the year ends, Morris.
Yes, we're coming up to the end of the year. Isn't it amazing? And I thought it'd be a good time for us to look forward at the end of this year and into next year and see what's around.
And this is your nature of business because you are a futurist. And we might not get through all 13 in the time that we've got, but we'd be interested to find out what will be the most important ones.
They really centre around what's happening out there, and that is that we're seeing a lot of innovation coming around. It's been quiet for many, many years. There wasn't much money in the economy. You really don't have to be a futurist to figure out why there wasn't much innovation. Not much money around. Companies were hankering down, and they were putting their pennies towards what they really needed to do or what they thought they needed to do in the immediate sense. What we're seeing now, however, is the loosening of purse strings, and kind of like the 80s, because we're moving into our mobile devices, because there's so much new technology, new computers, new mobile phones around, there are lots of new companies or lots of new people coming into the space. And there are some incredible things ahead, things that we've only just begun to see, and a lot of them are really around two major categories. And the first one is this mobile push, that we're really moving away from a fixed computer. We've talked about that many times, but it's obvious in 2012, moving into 2013, that the fixed computer will be a thing of history. It'll be on our mobile devices or on a laptop or on a tablet or something else that we carry around. And the other one is that word of hyper-personalization, that we're going to see a world that's made specifically for us, a digital world made specifically for us on these devices.
And you say these trends have a huge impact on the way businesses are run. It's kind of do or die, isn't it?
Well, in many ways it is. We're talking about, really, if a business hasn't come to terms with the next couple of years, I think that in some ways they've missed the boat. We really have significantly changed the way that we interact with the world, and we've changed our culture as well, because technology rubs off on us. It tells us or informs us about how we might be living our world in our world day to day. So our expectations as consumers have changed, our expectations as business managers have changed, what we want to buy, how we buy, where we buy, all of those things have changed significantly.
One of the things I actually read in an article the other day was that most people who own smartphones these days, or even just phones, the first thing they do when they wake up is actually check their phone.
Yeah.
I've been guilty of that. Yeah. Terribly guilty of it.
And I've heard people who have seen other people or heard other people say that this is their habit first thing in the morning and they felt sorry for them.
I actually must say I'm one of them. Even though I love my technology, I think that we're overdosing on it. I actually read some stats last week where I think the stat was something like 60% of all mobile phone owners sleep with their phone, actually have it near their bedside or somewhere, and they check it incessantly before they go to sleep and incessantly after they wake up. And
isn't
again,
that bad and possibly cancerous for your brain cells as
well? the cancerous is something that really I don't know, but that discussion's been around for a while, and yes, we may find down the track, and not surprisingly, maybe there are some impacts. But just from a cultural viewpoint, just from a living viewpoint, even me, great technology geek and nerd, just untether yourself. I mean, really, just under the umbilical cord for a couple of hours, put it away somewhere.
It doesn't need to charge, though.
Put it downstairs. You know, let it rest. Put it away somewhere.
I think my dad would love to talk to you, Morris.
I love technology. It really is not something most people expect me to say, but something I say every day. Use it. You know, really make good use of it. But at times, just put it to the side, leave it alone. Both of you will survive, I promise. Next morning, it may not charge up, you're right, but plug it in, and I promise next morning she'll be ready to go again.
Right, Morris, it's going in the next room tonight.
Yeah, that's right. Well, for better or for worse, technology is here. It is changing our lives. It is changing the way businesses are run. Hmm. And as you're saying, there are some key, do you call them tips for businesses?
They're insights.
To really home in. I mean, these things aren't, I guess they're not really expensive to implement. I guess where the expense is the research, isn't it? Trying to find out where are the best platforms to invest in.
Absolutely. And it's not, even the research nowadays is not that difficult because a lot of that can be done online. A lot of it can be done almost for free. And what I'm finding is that where big business might have in the past had something up on small business. In other words, they had deeper pockets, more time, all of those things. Even the smallest of business, the startup, you know, the individual at home who's just come up with that craft idea, they want to turn into a business. All of us really can make good access of what's out there today. And it's really a matter of understanding the marketplace and where they are, not being stuck in one geography, even though you're physically bound, you live in Melbourne or you live in India or wherever you are, that the whole world is available to you. It really is available both as a place where you can sell into and learn from. We're seeing things, simple things, like the trend away from the written word to the visual word. We're seeing YouTube obviously rise over the last 5 or 6 years. We've talked about Pinterest over the last year or so. Pinterest is that social media space where you can put in like a corkboard, take your pictures, put it in and share it with your community. But behind all of that is that notion that people are returning to this visual format. We're not reading anymore. And that's a good insight for businesses. If you want to promote yourself, if you want to talk about how your products work, if you want to give people instructions, really
talking pictures.
Take a piece of video. Just take a normal smart camera. Don't go to any great expense. Put together a 2-3 minute piece and put that as part of your marketing. Even the smallest of businesses can afford to do that. And it's a great thing to do. It gives you a huge platform. Put it up on YouTube or some other space and allow people to access the world that you see through those 2 or 3 minutes of insightful video.
How do you do that if what you have to offer in the marketplace is actually really quite complicated and has several layers?
It really comes back to me, to understanding how the end consumer is going to use it. What you're describing is a technical piece of video, and that has its place absolutely. And then most probably, from my viewpoint, breaking it down into chapters, talking about little elements of it, and then putting it together into a bigger picture. For most end users, if we're talking business to consumer, the consumer just really wants to understand what's in it for them. How do I use this? What's the nice buzz I'm going to get out of it? And that's what your video needs to show. If it's the instruction piece, again, just break it down step by step. Take it through the normal process that somebody that doesn't understand whatever it is you're about to show them would take themselves through. Think of that wonderful flat pack that some of us have bought, me included. You know, you bring that home and you really have no idea once the box is unwrapped of how to do it. The instructions might as well be in a foreign language, because even if they're not, they make absolutely no sense. Imagine that instead in a series of really short, sharp videos. Take it out of the box and somebody actually shows you what to do. Here are the 6 screws you need. Here's where this screw goes. All of that kind of stuff. We're seeing a ton of that. And that actually adds value to the product, because you can say to the end consumer, look, normally you'd be damn frustrated by this, putting this thing together, but just take a deep breath, you know, get a cup of tea, and then look at the videos that will show you how to walk your way through it.
You're listening to Radio Australia, and we're talking to Maurice Misiolowski, who is giving us an update on the future of, I don't know, everything really, technology. Maurice, I'm joined by Adelaide. I'm just looking at the list thinking, ooh, there's so much to do.
There is. The other thing that's coming out now is something that's been around for a little while called APIs. Again, a fancy word. In consultant land, it means you can charge a lot more. And it stands for Application Programming Interface. But forget all of that. What it really is, again, newish technology that takes you, understands you have a mobile device, whatever that is, and that there's a world you want to go into. And it builds bridges between you and whatever it is. So, for instance, when you go into Google through an API, and an API is just something you download onto your mobile phone, you don't even need to know that's what it's called, but that's what you're downloading onto your mobile phone, it remembers who you are, what you've bought, and where you've been. You've given it permission to do this, by the way. So that the next time you come in to use that program, it's starting from where you finished off last time. It understands who you are. It doesn't have to repeat the same questions. You know, in the old days, we used to have to type in our name lots of times, the password lots of times, and start from scratch. We don't need to do that as much anymore. That's API land. And we're going to see more and more and more of that over the next year or two, to the point where that becomes absolutely normal. We're not going to bother or want to repeat ourselves more than we have to. So that's another trend that's out there. It's look at what's currently available in the way of whether it's a Google or whatever it is that's out there, and ask yourself, can I offer the end user a different experience to that piece? And then produce that. And many of the apps we have are exactly that. If you look at them, they're using the same information, they're taking the same source, but they're spinning it in a completely different way. They're offering you something unique in that experience that's special to you. And that's API land. Again, expect to see more of that over the next few years.
I think it's going to make you very special, feel very special, but also on another end, it is rather spooky. Come into this particular land, because I know the exact blouse you're going to love and at a price that you want. And how did you know that? Better than the husband, anyway.
I'm not getting into that one.
But you're also saying that, I mean, people talk about apps and optimizing websites, making them as attractive as possible. But you're saying also mobile is the way to go. That is the big growth area.
Yeah, absolutely. Across the planet, we now have 60% of the world's population either has or has access to a mobile phone. That's both in developed and developing countries. The stats tell us that within 3 years, that will go up to about 80% of people have mobile phones. If you look at developing countries, if you look at England, at India, at Bangladesh, at other places, they use the mobile phone in a way that we don't, in the most beautiful way. They do banking on it, they do education on it, they provide health through that, and that's not just through a smartphone, but through what's called a dumb phone, just a phone, in other words, just rings or has SMS on it. All of those things are being done now on the mobile device. Imagine what we're going to be able to do as we walk down the next few years on top of that already. And for most people, it seems to be a device that they're really comfortable with. As you said, we sleep with it, we wake up in the morning with it. It's just become part of our ordinary everyday.
If you do banking on the mobile phone, there are security issues?
We do banking on them all the time here. And in the developing countries you're talking about?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, I'm prepared to do that, say, at a particular computer at home, maybe. Mm-hmm. I would not be prepared to do that on a mobile device that I carry with me that I could possibly lose in a shopping centre.
The stats tell us that people are increasingly happier to do it on a mobile device than anywhere else. And in fact, they're making choices now. The Australian banks have done research over the last year or so that many consumers, one of the choices they make about which bank they want to go with is in fact the app that they provide on their mobile device and how intuitive it is to the needs they have. So increasingly, people are happy to do that because, again, it's in their pocket, it's available to them all the time, and it's theirs. Nobody else has access to it, really. And going back to your point of if I lose it, it locks itself down more and more now. You can actually turn the thing off from a distance. So right. We're seeing that with lots of the new phones, that even if you can't find it anymore, you can still get into it in a digital sense and turn it and lock it up.
So as long as you're aware, something
absolutely.
Right, there's so much more to this, of course, and the world next year. I'm not sure if we will even recognize it, Sian, but it's been terrific, Mark Vasilowski. Unfortunately, this is the last time we're going to have you on in this segment here on Radio Australia because of programming changes that will start next week. But we really do want to thank you for all the weeks that you've been here since the start of this show. Morris has, of course, Business Futurist is where you can find him on Facebook as well, and you can find him at businessfuturist.com, but it's been a real pleasure. We've learned a lot, I think.
It's been my pleasure. I've loved it a lot, and hopefully we'll get together in the very near future.
Yeah, well, that's right. There's a bar next door, too. So.
Well, this is true. I'll meet you there soon.
Bye, Morris.
Bye.
Thanks so much for popping in, both of you. That's Adelaide and Morris Michalowski. And as Adelaide and Jen, you can find him at businessfuturist.com, and he is also on Facebook as well.